Doesn't matter whether you just started real estate today, you're the CEO of your business. So the question is, would you hire yourself? Because you are the CEO. Would you hire yourself to run the business? If the answer is no, you better go and get some training to learn how to run a business, because that's what you're actually running.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, everyone, it's Sam here. My guest this week is someone who is no stranger to the Elevate podcast. As one of the industry's most experienced and well-respected leaders, he's here today to help us through the lead up to Easter and how he's thinking about strategies beyond for his team. I'm talking, of course, about the agency CEO, Matt LaHood. So, Matt, welcome back to the show.
Damn, thanks for having me on. I think we were talking at Christmas, remember, and I said Easter's early this year. Do you remember me saying that?
I do.
And here we are.
Yeah, and here we are. Look, I've been telling everybody that Easter's early because everyone thinks that Easter's in April sometime, but Easter's going to be over by April.
Absolutely. Well, 19 days today as we record, so 12th of March. Yeah, it's quite interesting. Look, I think the really clever agents that strategized their business plan before Christmas came back with a plan knowing that Easter was early, and they got their owners sort of in and out, because I guess our team will work all the way through Easter Saturday. We don't see it as a roadblock, but we do see owners not wanting to come on till, obviously with families, it's a bit difficult, kids from school at home, and then you want to go away and all that. But yeah, you and I were talking before, Sam, I thought what would be really good for everybody, all your viewers wide and far, would be what's their pre-Easter plan, what's their post-Easter plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I started talking sort of late Jan around this with our team. I know it's March now, but I've been talking about it every week since. What's your pre-Easter plan? What's your post-Easter plan? So in saying that, a bit different to Christmas, obviously the teams will work through, but what strategies have you got? So one of the big things we sort of looked at was owners weren't sure. They always think, oh, Easter's a long way away and it's February. Don't worry about it, but it's actually in March. It's April. Everyone thinks Easter's April. But so what a lot of our team have done is they've gone and sat down with their clients face-to-face and actually bought the calendar out. Something simple, but it's quite enthralling, because a lot of them came back to me and said, geez, our owners were like, wow, we better get on with it, because they're looking to purchase as well too. And if they don't sort of, you know, come on sort of now, they're going to be then putting it into May, and then June will be when and then as we all know, real estate, you know, that people like to sort of try and navigate through that June, July, and then it's spring before a lot more properties will come on. So you need to, as an agent, you need to really coach your owners through what's happening. They're looking for someone to, like when you go to a doctor and you've got a sore arm, you're asking the doctor to tell you what to do to get rid of the sore arm. They're looking for advice. They're not looking for you to go and try and ask them what they should do or what, you know, which a lot of, I think agents today, Sam, they miss the boat around. They try and be clever around, let me see what the owner's thinking. And the real serious agents that work with us and I see in the marketplace are the ones with a plan. They've actually got a plan for the owner. It's clear. And they back themselves to the plan. And I think owners do that. Well, certainly my owners do. I'm still an agent, as you know. I had someone call me yesterday to say, hey, their mother passed away and their old school family friends of mine and my wife, and they just said, what's the plan? And I said, all right, you know, gave them exactly what I'm talking about here today. Let me come down and see you face to face is the first thing I said. And it's so much better. People try and do things on the phone, Sam, these days with clients, the biggest decision someone's making in their life, and you can't find half an hour out of your week to go and sit with them. Scary, these things that happen in our industry.
You've just got to block that sort of stuff out. Like, you know, I think during COVID, it was like we did everything that we could to do things remotely. And now, like what you're saying is we really got to flip that on its head.
Yeah, we've got to flip it on our head. Look, one of my really good clients, he's actually a jockey. So he rides, his hours are horrendous, on, off, in track work in the mornings. And he said, look, I wanted to catch up. And I said, look, want to catch up with you for sure. So we were going backwards and forwards on text. I was saying, how's Monday? He goes, oh, I've got to be there. He said, how about Wednesday afternoon? He said, I'm racing. Then I said, what about this? I'm in Tasmania. And then it got right through 2 weeks. We still couldn't get. I said, hey, how about I FaceTime you tomorrow night? And he goes, oh, we're stupid, aren't we, you and I? He goes, we should have just done that. I said, that way your wife's there, you know, and I'm here and we can have a proper chat. Let's get the kids to bed. You get your kids to bed. Mine are not living with me anymore, Sam. I didn't tell you that, actually. I'm an empty nester at 52.
Wow.
I'm celebrating at the moment. But no, you're joking. But, you know, I said, yeah, he's got 3 little kids under 10. I said, look, get them off to bed and things and I'll FaceTime you. And he goes, hey, that's cool. Yeah. So we went from a 2-week catch-up, which is, I think a lot of people just get stuck in this. You have to pivot, right, in the world that we're living, especially in our business. How can you shorten something? I've just done that. I'll get an outcome for that client tomorrow night instead of 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. You know, you and I, like, I know your calendar's hectic and my calendar's hectic too, and yet within the space of a few days, we found a moment to sit down.
We did.
But as a vendor, like, I remember last year, like, and I don't know whether this is calendars in the world's gone crazy. You might have a view on it. But, you know, we called the guy back that sold us the house in the first place and said, we're getting ready to sell. We're finishing up the renovations. Do you want to come and have a look and see what you think? Anyway, you know, the response was, yeah, I'm available on February the 29th at 4 a.m. in 2025. I'm exaggerating, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
But do you think the whole let me structure my day has gone a bit crazy?
Well, you should have in your ideal week days that you're going to list. I know it's not possible because you're doing opens and things, but I think when someone, I look at it like this, Sam, was that the most important thing that was happening in your life?
In my life at
yeah,
the time.
When you were selling
yeah.
that.
So yep.
The agents don't look at it like that. The top agents have worked that out. That's the most important thing happening in your life. So when somebody calls me about anything, whether they're purchasing or buying, and this is over 33 years, I haven't changed, even when I don't do day-to-day selling. It's the most important thing happening in their life. I say, let's get some time, let's carve out. And they really respect that when you say, I'm coming down, meet me for a coffee. There's no excuse. Like, that agent should have been down there. Like, I don't care if it says, Sam, look, I've got a full day, but this is the most important thing happening in your life. Can I get there at 7:30 a.m. or 7:30 p.m., which one suits you better, the next day? Now, I'm assuming you didn't list your house with that person, am I?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I don't know. You just said this, right? So what does that tell you, right? Speed is a new currency. I've mentioned that to you before 100 times that we've done things. If you can ring up and get McDonald's delivered to your door in 20 minutes and you can't find an agent, and then you can turn your phone on, get a car at your front door within 7 minutes, and you can't get someone, you're going to pay $30,000 to $40,000 to $20,000 fees to say, hey, I'm dropping everything, I'll see you shortly. Well, our industry is disconnected from reality, isn't it? I know my kids, like, I thought I was fast, but my kids can do things faster than me, and not just physically because they're younger. I'm talking about this. When I watch them text, I get a headache. They've got 2 fingers going at the same time. I can only do one. But, you know, like, if you don't reply back straight away, they're saying, where are you? Is everything okay? I'm like, hang on a minute. And then that's the next generation that the current agents right now that we're talking to, you're going to be dealing with. So are you ready, the next generation? I know we're right off track here. We've got to get to post.
No, you just reminded me, actually. Well, you know, I'm on the Gold Coast and I was reading a story in the papers yesterday on Monday about how a DJ got a pop-up show going over in Main Beach with 31,000 people there with little more than like a couple of hours' notice.
Oh, there you go. Isn't that incredible?
So everyone jumped on their Lime bikes and got down there and they had to get, you know, like police and stuff down there because they weren't aware of it.
Incredible, isn't it? Well, I was just saying before, so back on the Easter plan sort of thing, but this is all relevant, was going down. If you're sitting here now watching this or listening to it and you've got pipeline sellers that are going to sell in the next 90 days and you haven't physically been to see them like face-to-face, and if they're not in striking distance to you, Zoom, that's the next best thing, or FaceTime, as I just said before, which I'm doing tomorrow night one, we've got a problem because they're not going to see a calendar. They're not going to be understanding what's going on. You've got Anzac Day, you've got Easter, you've got winter, and you've got all these changes where people, you know, the buyers aren't seasonal, but the owners are. We need to be explaining to owners that when somebody says, I'm going to wait or I'm going to do this, we just need to be saying, hey, buyers aren't seasonal. They don't wait for the flowers to come out, and they're here now ready to go. So often if you look back at a lot of records that have been created, they've been created in the off season of when you wouldn't sell. People say, oh, you wouldn't sell in June or May or wherever it may be. Well, that's all changed now. I think that's all changed too. And East being a time when everybody had shut down for a month and then say, look, we don't do it. There's school holidays. There's Easter, Saturday, Sunday, don't open. Then you've got always Anzac Day following through in the middle. In the middle of April, at the end of April, but always is somewhere around Easter-ish, you know. So I think obviously that's a day you wouldn't do anything. Our team won't do anything on Anzac Day, but the rest of the time, I mean, I think it's all changed now, Sam. Like, so saying to your owners, look, use the Easter time, the soft launch, you know, if need be, if you don't want to necessarily, but we can't afford right now with 12, 13 interest rate rises we've had, where our buyer pool's going to be limiting to wait for every more competition to come on after Easter. So if you haven't got a plan, I think you're behind right now, your competition that do have a plan, because there's some really good agents out in the Australian marketplace. I can only talk about our team. Our team are all doing this. We've all been on podcasts with us all through. They've all been out. They've listed their, they got their whole, the owners love the plan. They love a plan, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, usually, you know, you and I talk a bit economically because I always sort of refer to you as my numbers guy.
Yeah.
And you started touching on it then. Like, so we've had a rate hold after 13 rate rises and everyone's going, oh, is this the end? Will buyers be back? Are we going to have a rate decrease? Like, I've heard every story out there. What do you think is going to be the market after Easter?
It's everyone's got an opinion on it, haven't they? One thing, though, you'll find, which I find intriguing, is like the clearance. Did you see the clearance rates on Saturday nationally at all? They were Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane were all above 70%. What we normally see, and I can't remember, I think it's a record, isn't it? 13 interest rate rises. We've still got a 70-plus percent clearance rate. In actual Sydney on the weekend, it was 80%.
Yeah, right.
That'll show you how resilient the market is, first of all, where people's buying capacity has shrunken. The clever vendors have adjusted to the market. So there's probably, it might have been a 7 or 8% gap that was starting to appear, some maybe smaller in some of the more premium salubrious suburbs of Australia. But there was certainly a gap started to appear because people don't have the borrowing capacity. Their borrowing's been re-rated. However, I still remember when it was going from 12 to 13 to 14%, and that's back in 88, 89 when I started, and I was sort of still a bit fresh and green in the head. I didn't understand it all, but I still remember people saying, all right, if it stops, I remember the senior agents at the time telling me if they stop putting them up, 3 weeks after it'll go back to normal because people sort of do their numbers again. Now, that stuck with me from 30 years ago, right? And the same things happen. The rates go up and they stop. People then go, hang on a minute, we can actually afford this. The problem is we've had so many quick rate rises, people haven't had time to reevaluate what they can get rid of. You know, can they get rid of a holiday house to keep their family home? Can they get rid of the holiday that they were going to go on to buy an apartment instead or whatever it may be? I used a 50 grand that I was going to go here when the interest rates were like zero, nearly. Now, what can I get rid of? So, that takes an adjustment period, but now they've stopped. I think everyone's talking about unemployment as the trigger and inflation. So inflation, I mean, the latest figures, I think that's just very, very stable at the moment. I think there was, well, they say the Taylor Swift effect or something was a, I don't think Taylor or anyone else is coming back for a while. So maybe, you know, the economy certainly that helped the economy, inflation, they were saying, the Reserve Bank was actually mentioning Taylor Swift as one of the drivers, but I can't see right now anything changing for the moment because at the end of the day, the cost of living, I think, is more important than the interest rates. But keep in mind, Sam, the other thing people keep forgetting is only 33% roughly of Australians have a mortgage. So 33% roughly are renting. and the other 33% are retirees or don't have any mortgage, have got no debt at all, right? And they're the ones that right now, it's market swung around a bit because we're getting no income out of their super funds and nothing for their money in the bank. They're now the ones that are going back into the marketplace, traveling, going to restaurants, etc. So yes, the buyers and sellers that have a mortgage affected, but not everyone buying and selling has a mortgage either. So keep that in mind too. Where we all think, oh my gosh, the interest rates are going up. And there's a lot of people trading in the market right now that I'm talking about downsizers. There's plenty of downsizers that have sold their house for, you know, 2, 3, 4 million and buying something for 1.5 million. They don't need the banks. So what's happening with the interest rates are relevant. So that's why I love this industry, right? We can pull many levers. Interest rates go up. Okay, unfortunately, some people will be selling, so there'll be more properties coming on. They come down, it'll fuel the prices. The next thing is that empty nesters moving out and they're not talking to the banks. Then you've got the segment of the rental market. So I can't see there was any need right now to change where it is. I think they've slowed it down. That whether it worked or not, time will tell. But I think it's caused a lot of pain to some companies that are now starting to put staff off, which was probably the alter effect of what they wanted to do. Because that could start fueling unemployment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last year, what I think unemployment was at a record low. Like we've never seen unemployment figures like that. And even people are still saying to me now that they thought the biggest challenge for this year would be finding good people. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's still a problem because obviously there's a percentage there that I guess they've redirected their energy since COVID. There's a lot of people, I think, just on the mouse wheel, Sam. I mean, I've done it myself. I've reevaluated a whole lot of things post-COVID, just even the way I operate and how I can increase speed now with things that I learned through COVID, learned through my kids, that my son's in leasing. So I watched how he pivoted. I took a lot of things away from him. He just redesigned his whole world within 2 weeks so he could keep the leasing team going in COVID. And I think a lot of people have changed. So I don't know if it's people, we can't find good people. It's more people have reevaluated what they want to do because they were stuck on the mouse wheel. There was property managers that just thought they'd be a property manager till maybe they finished their careers. There's real estate agents that were saying, we're just going to do this 7 days. We don't know any different to 6, 7 days a week after hours, Sundays, Monday, until COVID came and they went, hang on a minute. And I think it hit the reset button for a lot of people. So maybe people aren't wanting to do some of their roles they used to be more because I don't think it's a case of flood more people into the country and we'll find all these more people that coming in wanting to do jobs. I think it's about making it more attractive. And leaders and principals of our industry, understanding what we're working with. I've got a lady that's just joined us who went in COVID, was burnt out, but she's come back, reinvented herself, and she's come back 3 days a week. She's a superstar. And she said, Matt, I just want to work 3 days a week. Is there anything? Well, she's been snapped up, Sam, from our team like you wouldn't believe because the four people said, I'll take her on straight away. Just because she wants to do three, because they all know her and they know how good she is. She'll do 5 days worth of work in three. Suits her team. So that's about adjusting to saying who are around and can we put them in a different role? We can't find someone rather than trying to say, no, that's the role. It's Monday to Friday. It's in the office. It's blah, blah, blah. We might say, hang on a minute. I've got someone I know, but they can do 3 days in the office, 1 day or 4 days working, 1 day don't come in for the fifth day, whatever. So, yeah, we haven't had problems finding people, just to be frank, and we're up to 820 staff now and contractors in our group nationally. Good people, great people, always hard to find talent in any industry, right? But I wouldn't say we've had problem. We haven't had many roles that have stayed. We've had to pivot, though, definitely had to change the way we're doing things. It's not only money either. People say, no, I'm happy with the money, just want to do 3 days. And COVID, I don't know what you find, but we feel COVID definitely gave people a reason to think differently about their lives.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that. I was just thinking yesterday that the pandemic was actually declared, I don't know, 2 days ago in 2020 and we're now in 2024. It's hard to believe that was 4 years ago, but it's all still so fresh for us that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's COVID-19, isn't it? Nine, yeah. The whole idea.
Yeah.
21, 22, 23, 24. We're talking about fin year 25 now. I'm doing budgeting for now. Really? But hopefully something we'll never see again. Look, for every bad situation, something good comes out of it, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah.
And Sam, a couple of other things I wrote, unless you had anything specific, I was just thinking it's a really good time of the year going into the fin year, say March, April, May, to really start looking at what's your next plan for the next 6 months. What's everyone listening and watching this right now? What's your 6 month plan into the fin year? What's your 1 year, 2 year, 3 year business plan? Do you have one? You'd be surprised, Sam, the agents in this industry that don't have a plan past next month, which is intriguing. And, you know, we've got them in our team and we're shaking them up. And we've also, a lot of people I've met over the years, they haven't ever thought of a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year business plan, which I think is intriguing.
Why do you think that is?
I think because the industry, it can be cyclical, right? So people go, I'm just going to get through these next interest rate rises and then I'll see what the market is. But if you take a line through, you know, 33 years for me, but if I take a line through the last 33 years, it's going to go up and down, in and out, around. There's going to be so many things you're going to come across. 9/11, I dealt with Y2K, COVID, GST being introduced, and how we all sat around for 3 weeks trying to work out how we were going to present GST to a client. That was, I don't want to forget that, right? Okay, what's everyone? Whiteboard session, got the accountants in, got all the accountants to introduce it. I went in and then said, oh, there's GST. And said, oh, yeah, okay, no worries, bang. Nobody blinked an eyelid. Remember, everyone was waiting for the computers in 00 from 99 to blow up and everyone to lose their data. And they said, what are they going to do with the rents? They're going to throw all the rent pay. Everyone was backing up, had IT in for months and months. Everything turned on the computers the next day and it was like, oh, nothing's different. And you live through all of these things, right? So that, I think people don't play, you can't plan those things, but what you can plan is what you can control. So, you know, I've noticed that over the 33 years, I've had all those things, but I got coached very early to get real about you're running a business. You're the CEO of your own business. I've always said that to my team. Doesn't matter whether you just started real estate today, you're the CEO of your business. So the question is, would you hire yourself? Because you are the CEO. Would you hire yourself to run the business? If the answer is no, you better go and get some training to learn how to run a business, because that's why you're actually running. You're not just a real estate salesperson. You got millions and millions of dollars in the control of your hands, people's biggest assets, people looking to you for advice. You've got potentially people who are going to work with you. You've got family that you may have that are relying on you to get out of bed every day. So what's your plan? It's scary that you don't have one. I mean, you know, Sam, you and I have talked about this before. Elite Agent, I know you're one of the biggest planners I know. I mean, tell me about Elite Retreat in Hayman, and you've had very successful ones. I've been to all of them, and we're coming actually in a big way to Hayman, so we'll see you there. Lock us in. The weather's good that time of year. It's always good, isn't it, there?
Yeah, it won't be too hot.
Great.
It'll be lovely. So, yeah.
Let's talk about you as an example, because people, you know, I know how focused you are and that's why you're such a success. But when did you start planning Hayman? There you go. Let's talk about that.
Oh, before Elite Retreat last year.
Yeah, I know.
Before Bali.
At Elite Retreat last year in Bali, you were writing the plan for next year.
Before that.
Before that. Okay.
Yeah, locked it in before Bali. Yeah.
Even better to my point. Imagine if you woke up in the next couple of weeks and said, hey, Hayman's in, is it May? August.
August, yeah.
August. But Hayman's in August. I think I better start getting serious about this in June. What would happen?
Well, you wouldn't get dates. They'd be booked out. And I mean, I guess that's to your point right at the beginning, isn't it? If you don't go and sit down with the calendar, you're not going to get your dates.
Well, that's exactly right. I'm saying to agents, principals, new agents, veteran agents, property managers, leasing people, everybody, someone not even in real estate's listening to this now, is you need a plan. It doesn't always work. Mine virtually very rarely work, right? But I've got a plan. First of all, I've got a vision. I think one thing I was taught early, which I want to share, is what's the vision? Then what's the plan to get you to the vision? Now, I'm not saying plan always works, because having a plan is better than not having a plan. So what that might look like is, if I'm an agent right now, I might say I've written 20 sales this year so far up until the 12th of March. What do I want to do from the 12th of March till December 15th? That's all. I don't want anyone to do a sign. It doesn't have to be signed. You need no coaching or development, or you don't need any diplomas or anything to work that out, right?
You could throw it into ChatGPT, actually, Matt.
You could throw it.
You could say to ChatGPT, I did 20 sales last quarter from talking to 80 people. Tell me how many calls I need to make for the next quarter.
How good is that?
What a time to be alive.
And, what a time to be alive. The day I can be replaced when it's running the business and helping out and everything, I can't wait.
Yeah, actually, I would love to get a spreadsheet of an activity spreadsheet from an agent and throw it through ChatGPT and see what happens.
Oh, how good's that? So have a plan. What's your team look like? What's your breaks look like? What's your cool downs? What's your holidays? What's your financial plan look like? What about your expenses, your overheads? Everyone on this screen that's an agent should be booking in with their accountant in June and doing an end of fin year budget for the next 12 months. That is the greatest thing I've ever done, Sam, is do a budget with my accountant. I don't do it these days, but I've got a rolling one. But when I was commission only and worrying about going there, I encourage everyone to sit down and do a budget, because it's all about what you keep in this business, not what you make.
Yeah, exactly.
There's all these noise around GCI. I'd love to see if the industry can come out and give an EBITDA award or a net profit after tax award. That'd be interesting to see. So everybody wrote, they're giving it out to people writing 1 million, 4 million, 6 million, 8 million. I'd like to see who's got the most money left after 12 months award, because that's actually the real award.
Yeah, that would be so hard to measure though, wouldn't it? It'd be
Well, you just file your tax return.
Show me your group certificate, yeah.
Here, and then you submit that as a sign-off, right? And then the award's given on, it's just pretty simple. You don't have to, got to be audited, right?
But yeah.
I mean, when I say that, because I say that often to our agents as well, they look at me and I can see the cogs turning in their heads around, you know, you're right, I probably could do this. I could probably get rid of that. I could probably just, there's probably a lot of expenses agencies, as in offices, don't need. And I'm not suggesting cut people, cut this, cut that, but even things like photocopiers and, you know, the agent's not coming in. Everything's on digital now. You know, things like front office, how you run that is completely different. Tenants aren't coming in anymore. Owners aren't coming in. If it's just for tradespeople coming into the office, you could have a key with a code on it, a box with a code for the key, and you don't even need something. Like, there's so many things you can do today where you can sharpen the pencil. Where we're working, do we need a big heavy lease on every single property, every single office you got? What about WeWorks, Regus? There's so many cool places you can go to do work, working from cafes. I said to these agents the other day, they're really far away from where our head office was. I said, do you know any good cafes in the area? They said, yeah, we do. I said, why don't you go and see if you can take a back corner? And they go, actually, you wouldn't believe it. One of our best mates has just opened a cafe in our area. So they went to them and the friend gave them a table of four at the back Monday to Saturday to operate out of the cafe. I said, it's good for the cafe. It's what you're going to do, which the owner doesn't realise, the cafe. You're going to bring all these people to the cafe for meetings. Their income's going to go through the roof. And in actual fact, that'll be you offsetting the rent. And they're in it. They can walk out the front, make calls. They put the plugs. They gave them things to do, their laptops at the back. So the way the cafe was set up was allowing them to work from there. So they said they've never seen better, like the freedom of the feeling of being out. And have a guess who's coming to that cafe every morning to buy their coffees. Who do you reckon? They're potential sellers.
Yeah. Going back to what you said again at the beginning, like I sort of feel like, you know, doing a few 360s here, but your core piece of advice was to see as many people as possible. Now, if they're not coming into the office, then you've got to make yourself visible, like in places. That makes total sense.
Now, that's your plan, isn't it, for the next so. You know, we started off at Easter, then we worked into fin year because that's relevant. We worked into, you know, look at your expenses because it's coming into fin year. So it's a combination of these whole things in agents' lives that are critical, but we don't get off the wheel and stop and think about them. That's what causes problems.
Yeah. I mean, I'm biased. Obviously, I'm going to say come to Elite Retreat because that gives you a perfect opportunity to get off the wheel and think about, you know, what you want and what your goals are. But is that the way that you think agents should maybe be using Easter? Like take a couple of days, take a helicopter view of what you're doing and then, you know, use that to,
absolutely,
you know, gain a bit of momentum.
it's not something I'm hiding. Sam, you know, I've spoken about, I'm going to bring my team, the executive team there, so I can actually connect with them. And obviously you've seen your lineup there, and this is not a push. I'm going to a number of conferences and things, but that conference for me, the last three I've been to, I got a lot out of it. The way you run it, it is a big networking too. It was great. I made a lot of friends, new contacts as well. And, you know, your plan was to grow. I think it's to a level now where it's a really good size. But absolutely, Easter's a time, like I think I use a lot of times in the year. So myself personally, everybody that knows it works for me, I don't put appointments in my diary on a Friday after 12. So I'll meet anyone that needs to meet before 12. But after 12, I've got an agenda. It's just sitting in my iPad, and it's working on the business rather than in it. So what I do is actually sit down and I go back through my diary 2 weeks ago, and I go through my diary 2 weeks ahead. And it's the best process I've ever done in my career. Is I've been doing this for 20 years plus now, is you go back 2 weeks ahead and you look at every appointment you had, right? And you go, oh my gosh, I didn't follow that up. Oh, hang on, I wonder what happened there. Because you move on so quick, right? Then once you've got through that, that's about an hour for me on a Friday, an hour and a half. Then I'll go through the next 2 weeks. So I'll start pushing the snowplow ahead and going, okay, what have I got to do planning before I arrive in the next 2 weeks? Saying, no, I've got a podcast with Sam on, you know, whatever it is. Okay, Sammy, are you calling me? Am I calling you? What are we on? What platform? What do you want me to talk about? So when I turn up today, it's not like an accident. Same as, you know, you, obviously, we talked about that. And when I turn up in 2 weeks' time, I want to know, I've put something in the diary, but I see it sitting there, but I don't know the context about it. So for me to be 100% at my best, I want to start planning 2 weeks ahead before I arrive. Now, I found 2 weeks is enough for me, because each Friday it goes forward 2 weeks and then goes back just the 2 weeks. So I've got another week for each Friday I've created, if you think about it, where I've got to keep. So it never runs out of things following up, and never runs out of things pre-planning. That's been the best piece of advice. And my team do that now. They work on their business. A lot of the agents, there, and it doesn't matter where you work. I'm saying go down and get your car wash for an hour and start working on your business. But if you don't have a plan, you don't have a plan. That's just my plan.
Yeah. Actually, my coach said to me just this morning that things in your diary are not like massages. You don't just show up and expect it all to happen. Like for every appointment in your diary, no, you've got to prepare for it, and not necessarily directed at me. But I thought that's a really good analogy, isn't it? Because sometimes we put things in our diaries. We turn up, you know, relatively unprepared, but business is not like turning up to get a massage. It doesn't happen for you.
That's a great analogy, actually. I do see people turning up to a listing presentation. If we're dumbing this down to who's going to be listening to this, is either leasing, new business, property managers, just turning up even to your day when you know you've got appointments in there, preparing for those as a property manager as well ahead of time. But turning up to a listing presentation without preparation, I think you're 50% behind the ball, because there's some really sharp agents out there today using tech. The tech's doing the proposals, the tech's doing the pre-proposal, the pre-listing, the tech's doing, and they're using it to their advantage, which is cutting down the time. And it shows some form of preparation before you arrive. So one critical thing, if you know you've got a listing presentation coming up, like you should be driving down the street before you go there. You should be having a drive-by. You should have every sale. You should know the top three sales in the suburb of apartments and houses. You should know the top square meter rate of the blocks of land and obviously of the apartments. If it's an apartment, you should just know the top three sales. You'd be surprised, Sam, if we called up a few agents randomly now and said, do you know the top three sales, date, time, month, and per square meter rate in your suburb right now? Could you tell them to us? You'd be surprised people don't know the answer.
Yeah.
And they're actually getting paid a lot of money to do a big job, and they're expecting the clients to pick them when they don't even know the data in the suburb.
Yeah. And it is a lot of money. I've just felt it myself, so it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and you feel like value for money, you don't mind paying. If I see value, I'll pay extra. But if you feel like, you know what, could have really done it myself, you're not going to be getting referrals in this industry.
Yeah. Just one more question before we wrap it up. What do you see happening to volumes post-Easter. What do you think will happen there?
I think there'll be more properties coming on the market. I'm only going off the stats and data where I saw Commonwealth Bank say that they're just starting to see a bit more like delayed people paying their mortgages, delayed. There was quite an interesting word they used. Wasn't defaults. It was just a delayed behind in arrears was the word they used, actually. So I think people are going to say, you know what? We don't need this pressure. We'll put our properties on the market. I haven't seen the arrears come through yet. Yes, people have, as we said earlier on, they've probably sold other things to be able to keep what they've got. But there'll be people that'll be, I'm pretty sure, moving on investments. I think we'll see a little bit of a surge through till the end of June. And I'm only going off my team, what stock they've got, properties they've got, appraisals they're doing. That's the only lens I have personally. But opinion and then listening to the market, if you put what, you know, the banks are coming out saying for and what these people are saying for, what our own team is saying, it looks like the combination of that should see more properties coming on after Easter.
Yes.
Because people will wait. There will be that section. They're going to say, we're just going to wait till after Christmas. And we've got owners saying that too, right? Sorry, after Easter, beg your pardon. It'll just wait. And they're the ones that probably didn't go at Christmas and then Easter's come around too quick. So they're going to wait till after Easter. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So the key message here is see vendors before Easter. Spend as much time out there as you possibly can and get a plan in place for after Easter, because it sounds to me like the people that put in the groundwork now.
Absolutely.
Are the people that are going to.
And that have got a plan. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to go through Easter, have a couple of the public holidays off, but you've given every owner that's a potential seller in the next 90 days a plan. Every owner's gone into Easter with their family going, all right, you know, Matt LaHood's told me, here's what I've got to do. We're going to do this, this, this. Here's the dates. Matt's going to call us on the 4th for photos. We're going to be doing this on the. And every owner has a plan, right? Versus, I'll race through to Easter. I'll scramble what I've got now. I'll see what I've got. Then I'll start ringing people post-Easter when I come back, and then it's too late. The game's running once and then, because you're either going to miss the bit.
Yeah.
Like your experience should be curated as to, look, I think I can come and see it after Easter. You don't know what's happening in your life. These clients that called me yesterday, who I'm going to see after this podcast, another client physically going to see their property, family property, with one of my agents. I said, look, what time? Like, we got to get this on the market right now. So if I said, technically, I've moved things today to go to that, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. But yes, it's not in my ideal week. Yes, it's not in my week at all. I don't do as many listing presentations these days. But that is the most important thing happening in those people's lives. If I treat it like I'll get there on Friday, when would have been better for me, much better. No, I've shuffled some things and I'm going down there because it's a $2 million sale. It's a big thing for them. There's family stress around it. They just look into somebody to go, here, Matt, can you just take the pain away? So it speeds a new currency. So we don't know what's happening behind everyone's front door, right?
No, not at all. I reckon that's great advice. We will wrap it up there, but I just want to say thank you as always for joining us and giving us some of your wisdom on this podcast.
Thanks.
If there was one thing, and I know we've talked about several one things, but just give everyone one piece of action and then we'll get out of here.
I think my personal one thing that is not negotiable is that working on the business once a week.
Yeah.
You've got to spend time on your business rather than in it.
Great advice. Matt LaHood, thank you so much.
Thanks. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Speak soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast. With thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.